Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Troop was home at Washington Pool with guests and spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while having some of the greatest craft beer from across the country, thanks to the greatest beer distribution service known as Tavor. Follow us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasto here with you at Jay Quasto. Moving on to the stars of the show. She is a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member on Ghost Hunters, a wealth of knowledge, and looking to have bright pink hair tonight. I might be wrong on that. Follow her at Ashley Trobe, and now she's looking at me weird because I'm obviously wrong. She's Ashley Trobe.
You're obviously wrong. Also, you might be colorblind, but that's okay. It's orange still.
It looks real pink for me.
I haven't changed it at all since months.
Maybe it's the vibe and the energy you're giving off. You're giving off like a bright pink, like a gem and the holograms kind of energy.
Yeah, your hair is like a mood ring.
Oh, I like that. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good. So, yeah, I'm in. I'm down.
Feeling good, looking good, pink hair. It's a fact. And yeah. She is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, a lifelong connection to the paranormal. And her one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mix, will be hitting the earth very soon. And her t-shirt says, ethnically ambiguous lead. And you goddamn right she is. She's Anastasia Washington.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that marvelous introduction.
Well, thank you for remembering to turn your mute off before you started talking. Appreciate you.
You know, listen. We live in houses now where we also work. There are noises. Mm-hmm. So I try to help.
You know, cats and dogs living together. Pure hysteria.
Yeah, you know, I have to add, Anastasia is a Zoom master. I get it.
Thank you.
Very fair. Well, how about the brewmasters? What are we drinking on this week?
Ooh. Let's see. I am drinking Untitled Art Chocolate Raspberry Imperial Stout. And let's see, what are we on?
This one's very strong. It's like 10 or more.
Is it?
I think so. It might be 12, but it's at least 10.
Good night.
Yeah.
Night, night. I don't really see it.
There's a reason it's only in a 12-ounce can.
It's 11%. You're right.
Boom!
Yeah, and it's got some really cool artwork on it. It even says the artist, Heather Hailstones. And it's from Wisconsin.
Okay. Heather Hailstone sounds like she's definitely a meteorologist.
Maybe. Or she's in the band Hailstorm. One of the two.
Yeah. We got a cold front coming in. It's 11.4%.
That is very raspberry.
How do you think? Yeah, you like it?
I mean, you know.
Is it like fake raspberry or raspberry?
It's a little fakey. And okay. a little coffee. It's not my favorite.
Oh, it's giving you the coughs.
It's not. Yeah, it's getting a little like Robitussin.
Whoa, she just dropped the Tussin description. That, ew.
But somebody else could love it. It reminds me of this one that they have at Ren Fair that we always accidentally get. Oh my God,
I know which one you're talking about.
Right? After a while, after a couple drinks, you're like, you forget. You're like, that sounds delicious. And then you drink it and you're like, every year I say, don't do that. Every year.
I can taste it in my
right.
Wow.
That's the one.
Okay. Yeah, now, awesome. Wow. Okay. I'm excited to try it now because of your description. I need to see if my taste buds are 180 or similar.
Well, Quasto, yeah. It probably tastes like sweet pickles. You're going to be fine.
Okay. We're still on this shit. By the way, a lot of strong opinions on the social media about pickles last week.
Yeah. My family members are divided now and I'm demanding a DNA test. So. Mm-hmm.
I will say this. Most people did not agree with me from what I saw.
That is correct.
Well, yeah. If it does help at all, I at least agree with you about Twizzlers.
Boom.
It doesn't help.
You're outnumbered this week.
I know it doesn't help, but I just want to throw it out there.
I'm just saying it doesn't help. There is no helping the situation.
I want to throw out there that like the fake raspberry flavor in beer is very reminiscent of the fake lime flavor that they can do in beer. Mm. Fake lime has a very specific taste to it. And I've only had two beers ever, period, that have made the lime taste real. Wow. So it's fake flavors are a thing, y'all.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm guilty of it. When I've made beer in the past and I wanted to flavor it, I would just get the flavor syrup because I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know how to squeeze mangoes into beer. But to those that can, kudos.
Brush the mango into the beer.
Just let him squeeze them. Wow. Just let him squeeeze the mango into the beer.
Yeah.
Just
squeeze that mango.
One of these days I'll squeeze a mango. What is your beer, Ash Bash? That's a new nickname.
I am
Hey, 16-hour day. I'm going to be shouting out names, whatever comes to my brain.
I am having a beer from Kentucky, from Pivot. It's called Off Trail, and I'm not usually into ciders, but we all know that I said that I would not have IPAs this week or this month.
That's right.
For the show.
For Lent.
Yay. This is a hard cider with chai spices, and y'all can see it right there. No, okay. You can't because my light is too bright. Anyways, it's delicious. It's 5.5%, and it legitimately tastes like I'm just drinking a chai spice latte.
I was gonna ask about that because that sounds amazing.
Do you must say on the candle meter, like, does it taste like you're eating a candle or not?
No. Do you remember at Starbucks and get like the chai apple cider?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So like the hot apple cider where they put chai spice into it, that's what it tastes like, but carbonated. Ooh, and with like alcohol. That. So yeah. I'm in.
That's good.
Really, really like it.
You got a bright smile on your face. That must be a good cider.
The cider is definitely why I'm smiling. Yeah.
I'm drinking from one of my favorite breweries from Anchorage Brewing Company in Anchorage, Alaska. They are phenomenal. I've actually had a chance to go there, which is super cool. I'm drinking a Rondi brew, and it's just it's a status quo India Pale Ale IPA at 6.4%. We got like a little carnival theme going on.
Oh, I was
there.
Like, what is the wheel? I was very intrigued. Okay.
Yeah.
Carnival.
But, in fact, I'm terrified of Ferris wheels.
I don't blame you. I'm not a big fan myself.
Terrified. I'll ride a roller coaster any day. Terrified of Ferris wheels.
You should probably not ride any carnival rides.
I was a carny growing up, so.
Yeah, you know.
She ran the damn fair.
Yeah, I saw that 2020 about them, so.
I understand, though. Roller coasters are constantly moving for the most part, unless you're going up the hill. But Ferris wheels, like, you'll just stop at the top and then sit there, and then you have to look down. You're like, oh, all it takes is one loose bolt.
Nope. Oh no.
Or that crazy one at Disneyland that you can
nope.
Yeah. She knows.
Last time I was on that ride, I had a panic attack. It was very not fun
for anyone
that was in the cage with us.
Yeah, nobody, I mean, like, very few people like it. I mean, I'll go on that one, but then everybody's always like, it's so much worse than I ever thought it would be. And I'm like, yeah,
Well, Kwasa, does your beer taste like a roller coaster or a Ferris wheel?
Okay. I gotta tell you, it's an enjoyable roller coaster, not like an old school wooden one that gives me a concussion. It's a really smooth brew. I love Anchorage Brewing Company. Everything I've ever had from them is fantastic. And I've worked three different cruises now that went to Alaska. So every single time I get off the boat, I'm going to the brewing company. And
wait, you worked cruises?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
He's like, maybe.
Last time you just destroyed me. Last time I asked you that.
What do you mean? I destroyed you? Really?
Yeah. What? Remember I asked you and you were just like, yeah, Ashley, I'm a comedian. That's what we do. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You were so mad at me.
I don't remember anything. I don't sleep enough.
Hey, bud, me neither.
Yeah. But I do love Anchorage Brewing Company. So shout out to them. 6.4%. It is delicious. Anastasia, you watched the documentary this past week. I don't know anything about it, but you said it's different than what the title may imply. So please tell us.
Right. Okay. So the Duplass brothers produced this documentary about Sasquatch killing two people in Humboldt.
Yeah. Everyone's high up there.
Of the world.
Yeah. Right. Everyone's high.
So it starts off like talking about the legend, and it basically starts talking about this guy who was, he's kind of like a badass journalist. No, like he just does these like weird jobs. So he was hanging out in Humboldt to get like, I don't know, like the rundown of it when it was illegal still, you know, like years ago. And he was there one night and these guys came over and were like, oh my God, we went to the field and they're all shredded up and there's these two guys and they're murdered and they're like, whatever. And they never found
me. It was two?
It was two. Oh. Well, there's another. I thought it was two. Maybe you're wrong. Apparently it's a high crime area. People go missing all the time anyway. But they kept saying it was Bigfoot, and there is a gangster up there that's named Bigfoot, but there's also like apparently that's the way they scare other rival gangs, is to pretend that Bigfoot is like messing with their shit or killing people. Yeah,
wait a minute. Okay, number one, gangs in Humboldt County is interesting. Number
not gangs, drug cartels.
Okay.
The weed business is something serious.
Yeah,
right. But these groups would really be afraid of Bigfoot when they obviously have many firearms. Like, that's kind of odd, isn't it?
Have you ever shot Bigfoot? You don't know.
Quas. No, I have not. That's a good point.
Well, they would really like go to the rival weed places and mess up shit. And I don't know what do you call it? I'm not a weed specialist, Ashley.
Are you saying it's a weed war up in Humboldt County?
Yes.
And wait, this documentary took place during missing. What decade? Okay, what decade are we talking though? What's this?
Well, it's a new documentary, but they're talking about the 90s.
Okay. That kind of reminded me, there was another documentary not long ago, and I don't remember. It was Cocaine Cowboy. It was something cocaine. Cocaine
Cowboy? That's my new band name. Oh my God.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it'll be at Coachella for sure. But I forget, like, there was something, and it took place up in northern California, like Humboldt County and stuff, where people went missing a lot. And a lot of it had to do with cocaine and dealing. And that's kind of where, like, the woods are so vast up there. That's where they kind of went to, like, dump people. It's very, I wonder if there's, like, similarities here between the documentaries.
I mean, probably. The only thing that I would say is different is that people were like blaming it on Bigfoot, right? And then it just takes a turn and becomes like basically a true crime documentary where they keep asking like Bigfoot specialists about things and you're like,
yeah.
So I love the Duplass brothers. I think they're brilliant. Yeah. I have never disliked anything they've put out. I didn't watch this. I read a lot about it. I read a lot about people that were in it. I didn't care for reading about it. On a scale of like 1 to Duplass being 10 plus.
Yeah.
How would you say this lands? Because like everything they put out was so great. And this just feels like, I don't think I'd like it, to be honest.
I think if you're going in there with a few assumptions, then you will not like it. So like, if you think that it's a, like a straight up, like Bigfoot documentary, it's not. If you think that it's straight up true crime documentary where you're going to just like wrap up everything at the end and you want a happy ending, or not a happy ending, but like a concluded, it's not. I don't think it was a bad watch. I think it's very creatively done. They had really nice visuals. It was very like, you're like, oh, you had money.
Was it a mockumentary or an actual documentary?
It was a documentary.
Okay.
And would you say it was more in the serious tone, or was it more, because it sounds like this could be as outlandish as it wants to be.
It was pretty serious. I was thinking that they were, I mean, they, the people themselves are interesting, like weird
characters, so you're like, I'm laughing at this, but I probably shouldn't because these are just people.
Right.
Well, what did the guy call it? A dope field or something? A dope crime? And it just, I don't know why that made me laugh so much. Who calls weed dope? Like,
that's the people up there are like ancient.
Yeah. I mean,
a dope crime.
Like, well, don't forget, back in the 60s and 70s, I believe weed was called dope often.
Yeah, but this guy was like, no, this was a very recent style interview. You know what I mean? It was
okay.
It was something.
It was just not what I was expecting to watch when I was like, they're like, Bigfoot killed two or three people or whatever it was. And I was like, yay, let me watch this. I didn't know he killed people. I thought it was nice. Like, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, it was probably the fucking drug dealer.
It was a drug dealer, probably.
And I'm guessing that they were at least trying to solve this crime. Was that even part of the story?
Yeah, and they talked to this person that is called Bigfoot.
Oh boy.
And he was like, I didn't do it. I mean, like, you hear the whole conversation with him. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe him.
Sure.
But what murderer says, I did it? They don't.
Yeah, no. And it was like, it was so like, I don't know. They had like this phone conversation with the guy that maybe did it. And his wife was just like screaming in the background the whole time. Now you weren't even there. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just like 95. And you're like, what?
Wow.
It was like talking to like, I don't know, like your aunt, your crazy aunt and uncle on the...
And I'm glad they at least had a couple of like Bigfootologists interview. If there's one thing we know about Bigfoot nerds, they love talking about Bigfoot. So I'm sure they didn't have a hard time finding a couple people that would just yammer on about how there was definitely Bigfoot that offed a couple of people in the woods.
Yeah, honestly, the most interesting thing about it, the documentary, is the people in it. Because I just can't imagine, like, these people are like cartoons themselves. Like, even the Bigfoot specialist, there were a couple. I was like, marriage counseling, anyone? Because...
Well, no, that's their bond. Their Bigfoot bonded.
No. Like, as soon as the... So, it was...
Bigfoot bondage. I've seen that on porn before.
The two guys are talking. Like, one guy's like, you know, the Bigfoot, you know... And he's like, don't... The husband's like, don't. You aren't going to tell him something stupid, are you? Oh. And then just starts talking for the whole time. And I was like, that is... Interesting. Yeah. You've been together for so long, but I guess it is Bigfoot that is the therapy.
Good grown, for you.
They've grown apart, but their love for Bigfoot keeps them together.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, a foot fetish. I don't know if anybody knows that, but
well, there was plenty of feet prints that we got to see. Lots of feet print. We also got to see talk to the guy that says that he was the one in the, you know, the video of Bigfoot walking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says that he was wearing the suit.
Good for him.
How old is this guy now? He's got to be old.
No, he is older. Yeah.
Yeah, because that video.
He's like, it was me. And then the other guys are like, no.
Oh my God.
You can't move like that.
This documentary sounds like a goddamn disaster. It really does.
It's all over the place. But, you know, I guess it has something for everyone. I think it's too long. Honestly, I think they need to start doing documentaries where they're an hour and a half and stop doing like episodic documentaries. Unless there's something really, I think it's like 4 or 5 episodes.
Come on. Bullshit. I was pissed off. The Cecil doc was 4 episodes. I was real mad. I wasted my time watching that for 4 hours. I'm not watching a bunch of stoners talk about Bigfoot for 5 and a half. No, no way. Duplasses. I'm sorry.
Nah, oh, you're going to do it.
I'll watch Mark Duplass say anything for 4 hours, so I'm in. Like,
yeah, I've been close to him, and it was nice.
Oh.
Wow. Well, let's talk about something that may have actually happened. So I love the website, anomalien.com. Here's a story. I like to call it two women who eternally dislike each other, all right? This is
fun. My God, don't talk about me and Anastasia.
Hey, damn, this is
blow up our spot. Why don't you?
This might be y'all if you buy a plot near each other. So, one human moonlit August in the early 1970s, 17-year-old Barry Stroswell and his best friend, 18-year-old Tim Davis, left their girlfriends and made their way to the respective homes on Mather Avenue and Stanford Drive, blah, 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 through Allerton Cemetery. They did the shortcut. Moon was full, blah, 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 blah. moon was bright, and the ghosts were the furthest things from their mind as they made their way back home, right? They said it was just past midnight when this happened. Barry and Tim had covered about 600 yards when they both heard a woman's voice shouting somewhere. Sounded distressed, but the teens couldn't make out what she was saying. "She might be getting attacked," said Barry. "Let's go and help her." They trotted north to the sound of the possible damsel in distress. And it took a while to find the woman because her yells were echoing off the gravestones. And it was Tim who worked out where the sound was coming from. Pointed to the northeast, they started going up there because they saw something was moving, right? There was an open grave, they say, and clods of earth and mud were being thrown out of it. The toppled white marble headstone of this grave lay about 15 feet away as if it had been hurled there. Mm-hmm. "What is it?" asked a trembling Tim, picturing a giant mole at work, but then a woman in a white gown or perhaps a burial shroud with a dark, stringy shoulder-length hair and very pallid face came floating up from the grave. She shouted to them, "I'm not sharing a grave with that cow." I'll say that one more time. She shouted, "I'm not sharing a grave with that cow." Barry and Tim ran out of the cemetery as fast as their legs could carry them. And the parents of the boys didn't believe the tale. But the next day, the Liverpool Echo reported that the vandals, certain vandals had desecrated a grave at Allerton Cemetery and had excavated so much of the soil on the grave, the coffin was exposed. The white marble headstone of the grave had been wrenched up and thrown some distance away. The article in the newspaper prompted many readers to get in touch to say no vandals had been responsible. It had been one of the two women buried in the grave, and the husband of the two late wives got in touch with the newspaper and confirmed this. Holy shit, this is great. The man named Roy had married his first wife in the 60s. She tragically died a few years later. His second wife, an orphan who had no family, later died in a traffic accident. And she had known the man's first wife and did not get along with her. All the same, the husband buried his second wife in the same grave where his first wife was resting, and he had plans to be buried with his two wives one day unless he met someone, as there was only room for one more. So it sounds like he buried these two women together, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, that's terrifying, number one. Number two, who can lift up a headstone?
A really pissed off ghost. Roy then said he started to find the grave disturbed and the headstone would be toppled. And in the end, the grave diggers found all of the earth excavated from the grave and many of the people visiting the graves of loved ones who also witnessed the self-excavating grave. The husband ended up having his troublesome wife exhumed and cremated. He then scattered her ashes in the Mercy and threw the urn in the river as well.
He just threw his wife in the river?
I guess so. This guy really
sounds like a winner.
Yeah, real romantic.
Can I say also a trembling Tim is the name of your sex tape? Thanks.
It's a short film. What a story. Wow.
That's just rude. Like, that's just sucky. But it is very funny and is a sitcom I would watch.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Right? So when did this happen again?
In the 70s, they say.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask my husband to bury me with any of his ex-girlfriends at this point. I just want to see.
It'd be like the Odd Couple, but in a grave.
Do you think it was maybe to save money? Maybe the guy didn't expect to have to bury two wives, I guess. I can't imagine there was any other reason unless he's like...
How would he save money if they have to dig them up again to rebury the other wife? That's not money saving.
That's a fair point. So he put them both in together in the same.
That's oof. Weird.
Yeah.
Unless somehow he had the other partner in a freezer for the entirety of the 70s. That's the only other way I can think about that.
I don't really love any of those options, Ashley.
But I just feel like are you going to dig up your husband to bury your other husband so you can eventually be dug up again to be buried with them? Like, that's a lot. That, or you just freeze your partner until, you know, it's time. Or he's a murderer. So
I just feel like I don't want to be in this situation in any way
I think I'm learning is just, you know, don't get married. So.
Yeah. Or have very specific orders about what they need to do with your body. Have a will, you guys. Have a will.
And make sure whoever you married has no interest in burying you with anybody else in the same plot. Would
you like? Now it's going in my will. Don't bury me with anybody else.
And make sure you subscribe to Divorce. I want that on my epitaph. I want that on my epitaph. Like, she died doing what she loved. Subscribing to Tavor.
Haunts10.
That's right. We didn't mention yet. Use the code Haunts10. Get $10 off your first crate of delicious craft beer. It will be delivered much like a coffin going to a grave with both of your wives, except you get a $10 discount and really good beer.
Oh, good. Well, that didn't sell it, but I'll still take it. Well,
you know, I think that's worth clipping out.
They feel the same? No.
Cold, wet, you know.
Yeah.
Refreshing? I don't know. I tried.
Ooh, Anastasia, no.
I don't know.
So did either of y'all get a chance to read this article about the World War II pilot that was possibly reincarnated?
Yes.
Yo, there's also a news story from like a local news channel. It blew my mind. It's really incredible. Should I just kind of go down the bullet points and the story? Because it's uncanny. It's hard to deny. No, we'll just
make them read it while we're waiting.
Well, no, just one thing I want to note beforehand. It's very like the child that they thought is or think currently is the Dalai Lama's reincarnation. It just was very on point, and this kid knew way more than they should have for the age that they were at.
It's baffling. The 6-minute news story alone, but the article will run down it now. So 6 decades ago, 21-year-old Navy fighter pilot on a mission over the Pacific was shot down by Japanese artillery. His name might have been forgotten were it not for a 6-year-old named James Leninger. So quite a few people, including those who knew the fighter pilot, think that James is the pilot reincarnated, right? His parents, they're, you know, modern couple. They never really believed in reincarnation. They never thought it would happen, but they have become convinced because this kid has said so many things that are true, right? From the early age, as early as 2, he would do nothing but play with planes. And he had like expert knowledge. And he was really obsessed with World War II planes, right? The mom said she'd wake him up and he would be screaming. And she asked, you know, what he was dreaming about. He would say things like, airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out. And he was talking about himself. She started to believe that maybe there was some kind of reincarnation thing. There's one video of him at age 3. He goes over a plane as if he's doing a pre-flight check at 3 years old.
It's insane. Like the whole story is brilliant because I don't even know where it was when I was 3. Imagine having knowledge about a plane. I don't even know how TVs work and I'm in my 30s. So imagine doing a pre-flight check on a plane when you're 3 years old. That's a lot.
Yeah. He was talking about drop tanks. His dreams were getting more and more intense. He was becoming more articulate about things. An expert said James was at the age where former lives are most easily recalled. He said they haven't had the cultural conditioning, the layering over the experience, and so memories can percolate a lot easier.
Percolate.
Did I say that wrong?
No, I just liked it.
Percolate. It's time for the percolator.
The
percolator. So,
we need a name.
Can that be our opening song from now on?
It's time for the percolator. Time for the percolator.
Okay, but only if Flight of the Conchords does it.
Oh,
fine.
They would deliver well.
Have you ever thought about who you're like, who you are, like were in a previous life? Like if you were reincarnated, like who you were? I
think about it all the goddamn time. Reincarnation is probably one of my favorite things to ponder and look into, but there's only so much you could really look into. You know, it's like, I think it's a possibility. Right. I often wonder, because, you know, we all have such distinct traits. You have to wonder, is what are the reasons besides the fact that, you know, conditioning and nature versus nature, that kind of thing.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I know for a fact, but I am convinced that at some point in a past life, I think I was on the Titanic.
Whoa.
And I'm dead set convinced. My mom was telling me that the first time when Titanic came out in theaters, we were watching it. And I was just straight tears the whole time. Every documentary I watch, I'm just crying every time. But, you know, again, I cry during Disney movies, so whatever. But I have like a lot of weird dreams about drowning or like being on a ship and things like that. I don't know. I just, to this day, I still think maybe that could have been in my past life.
Well, it's funny you say that. So after the news, local news station aired their story, a Japanese film crew saw the story. They flew James, the little kid, and his parents to where he pointed on the map of where he says his plane went down. And, you know, they took the boat out there. He threw flowers over. And they said he became the most emotional they've ever seen him in his life. He just, like, broke down and cried when it was at the spot where the plane went down.
Aww. That's really sad.
And he pointed. He knew exactly where the plane went down. And historical evidence proved it. Damn. Right?
How old is he now?
I want to say he's 11 now. And he's very open. He says, you know, I hope my story opens more people to believing reincarnation is possible. I mean, he knew so many facts. He told his dad that he flew a Corsair. He said they used to get flat tires all the time. So they finally started fact-checking with other experts. Then they reached out to other World War II veterans who knew the pilot, right? And then they reached out to the pilot's family. His one sister was still alive. And little James, who had never met her before, he goes, yeah, that's my sister Annie. And then he talks about, we also have another sister, Ruth, right? And then Annie, he said, hey, Annie, can you get the painting that mom made of me or something? And she was like, yeah. And then he said, what about, do you still have the painting that they made of you? And the older sister, who's now, I think, about 90 or so, said, no one else knew besides my brother that my mom also made a painting of me as a little kid. And
oh, God.
What's so... That's so cool. I mean, that it's just, it's really cool. I sometimes like feel like when you have that deja vu, or when you're like, there's certain places in the world that like, I hadn't been before. And then when I went there, I just felt like home. Like I just felt good there. Like I, you know, and I feel like that's your body or mind telling you I've been here before. This is your old home or whatever, you know?
It's possible.
It's like a weird, like, I love it and I hate it because it's happy and sad. He's getting to reconnect with his family. But imagine being the sister and how much that must hurt to, like, know that your brother passed. And, yeah, is now his soul's in somebody else's body, and that's amazing, and he has a new chance. But, like, that has to hurt to have to, like, be reintroduced that way.
But, you know, at her age, it has to, maybe it's a little reassuring knowing that she's going to be reconnected with him soon.
I was thinking that. And I was also just thinking it's just nice to revisit with somebody that you've lost. You know what I mean? Like, that would be amazing. Like, how many people are like, I wish I had one more hug, one more conversation, one more of this. And you kind of get that. So yeah. I think it's really cool. I think it's a much, like, we don't really see these really good, like, representations of reincarnation besides like that weird movie Godsend, where she found her, like, it was like her husband died and he was reincarnated into a kid, and
whoa,
she was like
kind of like spoiler,
that's what it's about. Never, and she like that. Gets like all into it, like into it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Oh wait. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, word.
word. She's like, oh, you my husband. And he's like, I'm nine, bitch.
Oh, God almighty. So they found
porn?
No, for once I wasn't. But
the storyline was similar to porn. So they found a guy named Ralph Klarbor, who was a rear gunner on the U.S. airplane, who was he said he was flying right next to James Houston, the pilot. And he said that on March 3rd, 1945, he said the plane was struck by anti-aircraft fire. I would say he was hit head-on right in the middle of the engine. So that pilot corroborated, yep, that's exactly where he got hit. Like I said, they reached out to the family. They could not believe how accurate he was. The sister was blown away. Yeah, that's the story. It's really incredible. I encourage everyone to check it out and look it up. And I think it's a, I see your point, Ashley, about why it could possibly be sad. I think it's just beautiful. I think it's incredible. Like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know why reincarnation is such a strong topic for me. I just think it's like, it's just tremendous to think about. And yeah, I'm sure there could be negatives to it, but a story like this, oh, that's kind of heartwarming to me.
I see both sides completely. It's just, you know, it's a lot to kind of bring up, like losing somebody tragically like that, and then having some kid be like, oh, by the way, I'm your family member. It would just be terrifying to me. Beautiful. Yes, absolutely. Just, I don't know. I think I would be scared to hear that from somebody.
Oh, I'm sure the parents were terrified, but now, I mean, the kid seems to have settled in. They said after he actually went to the crash site, all of his dream, like all of his nightmares stopped, and all of his crazy drawings about crashes and stuff also stopped. So he's definitely a lot more stable. I would have to believe he's going to be a military pilot. I mean, you would think he's a young kid still, but who knows?
He's going to be Captain Marvel.
Oh,
Captain Marvel. Okay.
That's fine. Why don't we face Anastasia?
Because I thought you were going to say Captain America. And
so, yeah, face. It's close enough. I mean, yeah. Captain Marvel's a woman, but whatever, it's fine.
No, I don't want her to say Captain America. The movie we're talking about is Birth. It's Nicole Kidman falls, like, convinced that her husband was reincarnated into a child, and she, like...
Really? How long ago was this?
Like, 2004. Four?
Oh, really? Well, Kidman was like full on.
Yeah, 2004.
Whoa. She was full on famous by then. She was really doing.
Oh, yeah. No, it was weird.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care for anything Nicole Kidman does, so I definitely have not seen it. But.
You don't like Tom Cruise?
I don't dislike Tom Cruise. I just don't care for anything. I find Nicole Kidman boring. I find Gwyneth Paltrow boring. I agree with. Yeah.
Well, Goop was a whole thing. The only reason I like her is because I like Pepper Potts, and that's it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you like to stick a crystal up your... Anyway, Goop.
No, I like Pepper Potts.
And sticking...
Don't stick a crystal up your...
Listen, I'm trying to make Marvel references all day. Y'all reckon it.
Nailed it. Well, once again, y'all, if you want to join Tavor, download the app, use the code HAUNTS10, get a discount. Also, if you have a paranormal experience, hell, if you think you've been reincarnated, hit us up, 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Leave us a voicemail, and Anastasia, tell people where to find you.
You can find me at Anastasia W on TikTok and Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, and at Anastasia Anastasia TV at YouTube. At YouTube. Hey, I have stand-up shows coming up. Check out my social. Okay, bye.
Have you heard of the YouTubes, Ashley?
Did you forget your own YouTube name, Anastasia?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm at Ashley Trope on everything. Costa, where can we find you?
I'm at, of course, we're at Haunts and Hops, by the way, but I'm at Jay Quasto. The biggest project I've ever done is very, very close to happening. So all I can say is just follow me at Jay Quasto because I'll be posting all about it once I'm able to. As far as shows, I know I'll be at the Tampa Improv in June. I'll be in Louisville in July. And I don't remember what else right now, but that's perfectly okay.
Quasto, other than just your Twitter or regular social media, where are some other places that we can find information about your biggest thing ever?
I mean, there's Quasto.com. I'm going to be posting stuff on there. And of course, you know, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, the TikTok, or hell, even the YouTubes.
YouTubes. All and right. You can see him starring in A Trembling Tim this mm-hmm. fall.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be making the festival rounds. It's just going to be me in a corner shivering. Oh,
before I go, speaking of festival rounds, my film Free to Be just won Best Documentary Short at the Disruptors Festival. So thank you.
Way to go. Thank you. On that super positive note, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.